Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, here at BBS Radio, and we have a very special guest that I'm proud to have on, Colin Broen. Colin is one of the youngest investigators in the field. He started off with a show called Teen Spirit, now has a YouTube channel. I'm going to let him talk all about his experiences and how he got into it and so forth. Welcome, Colin. How you doing?
I am doing great. How are you doing, man?
Oh, can't complain. Tired as usual, but that's just part of the gig.
Agreed. 100%.
So let's just kind of jump into it here a little bit, and we'll talk about how you got started, and just go along with your journey, and take it from there.
Cool. Well, I actually got started doing all this stuff, I would say, 5-6 years ago. I moved into a house that ended up being haunted that we didn't know at first. We had built the house ourselves. It was, you know, brand new land. We had to clear out some trees and whatnot. But after a lot of researching the history of the house, we went down to the courthouse, my mother and I. We actually figured out that there were little dots on the map right where our house was built. So what the actual historian down there said to us, I can distinctly remember, is that she thought that it was a cemetery that was just unmarked, like maybe a small burial ground, maybe 5-6 people that were buried there, probably a family. And we figured out who actually owned the home. And the mother and daughter had death and burial records, and they'd been buried in a cemetery in Sioux Falls, that's where I'm from, South Dakota. And the father and the son did not have death or burial records. And what's crazy is that we had a psychic come out and check our house out, and she said instantly, before we even told her a single thing, that she believed that there was two male spirits in the house. And then that correlation between figuring out that there were actually two people that died and they don't know where they're buried, and there are two spirits in the house that are supposedly male, is what really was freaky to me, because I've been, you know, having a ton of experiences, as in seeing shadow figures in my room at night. I would wake up at midnight, and there would be this dude standing right, I can picture it clearly right now. It was right through my blinds. I'd look to my left every night, and this guy would just be standing there staring at me. Very tall, I'd say 6'2". He'd start walking towards my bed, and I'd go over and reach for my lamp, turn it on, and the moment I looked back, disappeared. Nothing from him. And that happened, I'd say, 20 times. You would hear voices, lots of movement throughout the house. My family thought I was crazy at first. It was kind of like a horror movie where I kept saying, hey, guys, there's a ghost in the house. You got to believe me. And they're like, no, that's just the house, blah, blah, blah. But eventually stuff started happening to them too. My mother and my father started having these weird events, like the TVs all turning on to static at the same time every night. Things were getting thrown. My dad was taking a bath one night, got a glass thrown at him from the other room. He's the only one in the house. And ended up having to have the psychics come and cleanse the entire house. We had 5 of them that day. And this was the day before my birthday. It would have been 4 years ago. And it was crazy. They did their ceremony and whatnot, came through, cleansed each room of the house, said their prayers, did the holy water and everything, and they left. And that night I had a birthday party, actually, with, it would have been 6 of my friends. And all of them were over there, very Christian, very skeptical of all things paranormal, even though I've been telling them this story for months. And at about 2 in the morning, there were these huge bangs on the window, because my entire basement is windows, and it resonated throughout the entire house. It was like an earthquake. Boom, boom, and everyone freaked out. They thought someone was literally standing outside about to come break in and, like, murder us or something like that. But went back outside. It had been snowing that night. No footsteps, or footprints, I should say. No markings on the window where a bird could have hit. No, absolutely, a trace of anything. And the next day, we were getting lunch for my birthday. And of all places to be, the psychics, all of them, which are my friends now, they were all there at the restaurant eating already. And before we even said anything to them, they came up to us and said, hey, did you guys have two bangs on your window about 2 in the morning? We were like, We did, actually. That's insane. They said that that was the energy releasing itself. But that was the whole inciting incident to me getting involved in, like, the actual pursuit of the paranormal. I've always been into horror movies and, you know, stuff like that. I've been known as the kind of ghost guy in high school. But then that turned into me hunting for ghosts in my high school. And that's what ended up being the first episode of the Paranormal Files, which has, I think, 185,000 views on YouTube right now. And that was filmed my senior year in high school. And now I'm a junior in college at the University of Texas at Austin. So it's been a weird journey, but yeah, that was, the whole school thing was crazy too. That's an entirely different story in itself to get into.
Schools are unique though. My elementary school that I grew up in is incredibly haunted. Can't really tell you why. There were no major deaths there, but it's amazing the things that we got when we were in there. I've only been in there two times with an investigation, and then it changed hands, so the guy's pretty cautious about letting people in there now. And we just recently, Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown and Generation Truth, while we were videoing their journey, went to Post Town, and Post Town is a wonderful place. Listeners, I'm going to be doing a special on Post Town in the next 2 weeks. I interviewed Daryl. He's having some issues trying to keep the school going. Please listen to that. It's a very, very close to his heart, very close to my heart. But long story short, schools are, gosh, you either have one that's totally dead or totally haunted.
Agreed 100%. And I was literally just talking to my girlfriend, or Peyton, I should just say. I was just talking to her about that today as we passed this abandoned school in Austin. I don't think that for a school to be haunted, it needs any sort of background in, you know, a death or some bad history or something like that. I don't think that it needs that at all. My theory, because nothing happened in my high school. No one died, no heart attack, no accidental death. It's not built on a graveyard or anything like that. It's literally just a basic high school that was built in the 60s. But what happened in the basement was just so shocking that there is something there. Like, I can definitively look back at that and say that is one of the strangest things that's ever happened to me in my entire life, and that was paranormal activity. But after spending just so many hours, like, thinking about it, it's kind of like you're saying, I've come to the conclusion that obviously, as an investigator, we go to places and you see residual energy that's left on the walls. It's imprinted into the environment. But in schools, I mean, think about it. You have hundreds of kids, and they're coming to school almost every day of the week, you know, minus two of the days. But they're spending the majority of their day there. If they're in sports or band, they're spending even more time there. And they're going through so many major life events just while they're there. They are having, you know, breakups and their first girlfriends and their first boyfriends. And that's, you know, can be a very traumatic thing. They're having, you know, bullying issues. There are people that commit suicide. I had a couple people at my high school commit suicide, and, you know, the different high schools around town, which is very tragic. But it happens just so surprisingly commonly in high school. You know, so many people just get way too stressed out, and that stress from just even being in class, I feel like, imprints itself into the environment and can all combine and eventually, I don't want to say form an entity, because I don't know if it would be classified as intelligent or not, but it 100% turned into something at my high school, which is why I can kind of talk about this from firsthand experience, because it was talking. It had a voice. It was following us around the school, and it had intention. So I really don't know what it could be, but I mean, yeah, definitely in agreement on that. That's one really interesting thing that I kind of have arrived at the conclusion at, is that you don't need a death at all to have a haunted location.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of locations across the world, not just here in the United States, but a lot of locations across the United States. There's really no rhyme or reason for why outside of the fact that, like you said, I mean, schools is an example of one. Asylums is an example of another. I mean, there's several asylums here in the United States that nobody really died there, but they're incredibly haunted. There's several hospitals where they weren't there to treat the dead. They were there to treat specific issues. You know, and those are very emotional places. Like you said with the school, you know, some of my best memories came from high school.
Yeah, definitely.
And some of my worst memories came from high school because you're going through all those emotions. Why, if it still sticks around, if there's some sort of energy there, why wouldn't other things be attracted to showing up?
Exactly. And they are. And that's what I think happens. I really just want to go to more schools because it's very intriguing to me, just the fact that, like you said, the whole asylum thing or the school thing where you can have an entirely clean building in terms of history, but it can be one of the most haunted spots in the entire town, even though no one has ever even been hurt inside the building. I just would like to take a very new building and see if it has the same kind of activity as even Lincoln High School is from the 60s, but you could even go further back than that. But I'm talking like to 2000s, like 2010s. I would love to get like a brand new school after a couple years and see what happens there. So there's this one school, you've probably heard of it, in Ireland. I can't remember the name, but it was built on an old hangman's pole in Ireland. And a lot of criminals were executed there. It was Gallows Hill something, but it was just in the news a couple months ago because they caught this insane activity on the CCTV cameras there. And I'm talking lockers like exploding open, doors flying back and forth, voices, papers just shooting out of open lockers. It's insane to watch. And this is the actual school that released this. So not some kind of sketchy internet prank. It's the actual school. And that would be a dream to be able to go investigate there. I feel like that's like a holy grail spot. You got real history, and then on top of that, the high school, all that effect.
That would be really cool to investigate.
Yeah, well, we should make a trip.
The thing that I think is very unique about situations like that is the fact that it does happen. There's an office complex, and that's in Oregon, I do believe, and I had them send me a boatload of footage at one point when I was getting into radio, and they've been all over television and had some investigators talk about it and so forth in their stories. They've never had a investigating team go in there and put it on TV, but there's no rhyme or reason for that office complex. It's not on a haunted ground. It is right down the road from a cemetery and a church that burned down. Perhaps maybe that's a part of the situation. But the building has been there for years, and it's exchanged a lot of people. It had a restaurant in it that was very well loved for a while. It went from a restaurant to a furniture store, and everybody bought their furniture there because it's a localized area. And then it went to an office complex, and this gentleman put up CCTV cameras because things were moving, disappearing, and so forth, and he thought his employees were doing it, or the janitor coming in.
and then you get the cameras up, and it's...
Yeah, he got all kinds of crazy stuff.
Like what? What'd they find?
He picked up at one point office chairs that would not just move away a little bit, but they would physically move around on their own while he caught them on CCTV. He caught things flying off of the desks. And
wow.
And it's very visible on the cameras. You can fake one or two of those things, but some of the things that he caught – it's kind of hard to fake, and he got strange shadows that would kind of just creep in and then realize that there's a camera there and creep right back out.
Oh, man. That's crazy when it's so intelligent, too.
Yeah, it's amazing, and he swears that he won't go there alone by himself, and his wife takes
really?
A whole cleaning plan. Yeah, he swears that there are just things in there he just doesn't feel comfortable with. They got an EVP at one point. That was a real dark, kind of raspy voice that was continuously saying, "Go away, I hate this stuff," things along those lines.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
that's
amazing.
That's scary, though. That's scary.
It can be. We recently did an investigation in a home to test a new team that we're going to be filming behind. And we got some unique EVPs that were that way too. But I've been in the home two times now, and I really don't feel anything that's dangerous there. But there's definitely a male presence that just simply doesn't like people playing around.
Yeah, I bet. That's just like It's so different living in those places as opposed to just simply investigating them. That's what opened my eyes, I'd say, the most, was actually being in my house and not feeling safe, which is the sad part that turns a lot of people off from paranormal research and stuff like that, is that you have cases like that where I would be sitting in my room and feel just a darkness enter, and you don't know what it is. You can't see it. You can't fight it with anything, really. It's just there, and it's kind of this ominous pressing force that kind of weighs down on your chest. But you don't really find that often, in my opinion, in the hunts that we've been on. It's more just energy, a lot of positive energy all the time, a lot of non-intelligent energy, but energy nonetheless. It's there.
Yeah, you don't – the things that they commonly pursue on television, you're absolutely correct about. 99% of the time, you don't find anything evil. You don't find anything dangerous. It's more positive, I guess you could say, or you can tell something's there, and every now and then, if you get really lucky, it communicates with you, but it never really gives off a presence of "go away, I don't want you here." I mean, there are there. I've been pushed. I've been bruised. I've been scratched a couple of times, but those are the very rare cases, and that's like,
yeah, exactly. Me too.
You know, 1 out of 100. You know,
definitely. It's barely ever even to me. Extremely active, you know. I feel like to get a holistic perspective on not even a haunting, but let's just call it energy of an environment, you need to spend, you know, like you're saying, you do long investigations. So you need to spend an extended period of time there, because a lot of do-it-yourself ghost hunters and investigators and people that want to get into the field, they have either a short attention span or they don't stick it out long enough to actually familiarize yourself with the environment, to kind of discern what's just a natural noise and what's actually happening that may be paranormal or something from this energy. And I just feel like a lot of people need more patience when it comes to this stuff. It takes a long time. It's not the type of thing where you just show up, say, "What's up, ghost? Do you want to come out and talk?" And then a dude in a hat walks out of the doorway, sits down, and you have some tea. It doesn't work like that. And not even with the scary stuff either. You can't obviously expect to just go in and start throwing a cross around and screaming at demons and see, you know, a girl crawling on the ceiling. It never happens like that. But
nope.
I wish it did. That would be cool if it did. But it's a lot more, I would say, subtle, in my opinion. You have to really dig into the actual research and a lot of the post-production to find your evidence. But just sitting there, because I edit all my own videos, sitting and just listening to the raw footage and the EVP, the recording device files that we get back, that is an experience in itself, because you'll just be sitting there completely silent on the video, no one's talking, and you'll hear a very clear whisper, "I'm here," something like that. It's right in your ear. It's like someone was right there. And, you know, if I'm up editing alone and it's midnight, that gives me chills down my whole body, and I get super excited to put that in the video. So it's just,
it takes a lot of hours to do that, too. That's something I think that the listeners out there and the people that watch TV and so forth don't understand. Is they think it's as simple as go in 4 hours later, you've got something, and then you can just put it out. No, I have 9-10 hours of just listening to recordings.
Oh my, yeah, I'm with you on that, because I do everything myself. So not only do I have to listen to the recordings, but you got to listen to the recordings. I like to, in the videos that I put out, I feel like a lot of the paranormal content on, let's just say, YouTube is missing is a cohesive narrative or even just an emotional angle, because ghost hunting is a very emotional practice. Paranormal investigating, you go into these places and you put yourself into the environment just as much as you take away a part of the environment with you home or there and feel it that night. So it's just, there's so much dry content out there with people going to these places, they talk about where they are, they investigate for an hour, and then that's the whole video. But I like to show the holistic perspective of Peyton and I driving around, having fun. We get to the place, interview everybody, talk about the history, and include the kind of I don't know, really happy moments, because I feel like it's not scary. Like we were just saying, the paranormal is not something to be afraid of. It's more interesting and beautiful in my perspective. It's just very mysterious, and why I think a lot of people are afraid of it. But the end of my videos are always positive, because I never leave the place thinking, man, this is very scary and I'm afraid for my life and that was an intense night. It's more, you get to your car and you're like, wow, that was a really enlightening experience. I'm so thankful that everything happened how it did. Now it's on to the next adventure. And yeah, the editing process on that is pretty lengthy, because not only do you do the listening, but you got to do the video, the audio, the color correcting, and then on top of that, post and do all that stuff. So I feel like at this point, it's safe to say I've cut my fair share of videos.
Well, I've gotten lucky, even though I still do a little bit myself, and I've got a very young production guy that just started. I've got another production guy on the other side of Ohio that's going to be doing a lot of my professional stuff for the documentary that we're putting together. So I spend a lot of time listening to the EVPs and the audio, and just sitting behind the camera and making sure I get the best shots, because that's a key when you're out there, as you know. You know, you get a lot of butts and a lot of faces and a lot of waists if you don't know what you're doing.
Definitely been there. One of the biggest things that happened that was kind of sad on that end was I had a guy shooting video for one of our episodes, and he didn't realize that the camera was in manual focus the entire time that we were filming instead of autofocus, just when we're walking around. So almost all of the 3.5 to 4 hour or hours of footage that we had is just blurry. You couldn't even use it. So I had to scrap the whole investigation. It was so sad, because it was crazy, but you just can't even see what's happening. It was nuts. But yeah, good thing to check off before you start filming. You got the autofocus on, you got batteries, food is good, I guess. Maybe some coffee, since those nights get pretty late.
As long as you don't get too many liquids in you. That's a terrible thing on an investigation.
Definitely been there too.
Well, it takes a long process. I was just explaining that a little while ago, and I don't think people understand that, as most of us start off, and we just started off again, so I had to go out and order a bunch of stuff that is now just coming in to make sure we do it right. Most of us start on a hair-thin budget. A lot of it is out of our own pockets the whole time. So one of my friends that's doing very – he's got a lot of professional stuff now, but he originally started on 2 SVHS cameras and tapes, because that's all he had. You know, you just got to kind of put together what you can and roll with it until you get more.
Definitely. That's where I'm at right now. Making zero money on the YouTube, only on merchandise sales. We don't have any, you know, subscription service or anything like that set up yet. So it's literally just coming straight out of my pocket from what Peyton and I make on our, we drive through Lyft. So drive the car at night, buy some new gear in the morning, go out, film. It's literally just going right into gas money and like a really cheap motel. We've stayed in some sketchy places filming, just on the behind the scenes side of stuff. Going to New Mexico, we actually almost got murdered in the desert, but that's a entirely different story. That one, that's a real scary story as compared to like a paranormal story. That is just frightening, because humans are truly what scare me.
Well, that's a good point to actually bring up. Since all of this comes out of the paranormal world's pockets most of the time, even the people that manage to make it on TV for the first 2 or 3 years, they're paying for a lot of things. And most people, I don't think, understand that. We get stuck in situations that sometimes they're not the prettiest situations. One of the schools that I tagged along with was in a very dangerous area of Chicago, actually. And, you know, we got out of the car and I thought I was going to get killed right off the bat. I mean, and we had one of our cars stripped when we were in there. it's not as glamorous as people think. It's more passion, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely, it's not glamorous at all. It's sweaty. There is a lot of, I don't know, long nights, which I wish I could just spend watching Game of Thrones with Peyton, but can't do that because I got to edit. Just like this, I got to hang up the phone and finish editing on this video that I'm going to put out tonight. But yes, it's definitely worth it to me, especially once, I know we just had a sort of mild success recently, and it's really starting to connect with me, and I'm super driven right now. I cannot wait because we've gained a lot of really good fans on the show and a lot of people that consistently come out and comment. So many people that have now been buying the merch and like spreading the word, and I'm just so extremely thankful for all of that because my whole life, that's all I've really wanted, is just to be successful at not only, you know, movie making, but just at something. And to have people finally giving just some sort of recognition that what I'm doing is at least cool, that just means the world to me. You know, it doesn't really matter how much money at the end of the day I make. It's never been about wanting to be like a big celebrity or a rich guy or some crap like that. It's more, I'm just very passionate about film. Been making movies since I was about 5, and now I'm here. I'm very lucky that I had such supportive parents that, you know, pushed me to do all this stuff. But, you know, there are times, I'm sure that you kind of think about it too, when you look back on your life and just think, I wish I would have done something differently. Like, I could have gone to the University of Southern California in L.A., but I ended up going to UT. And, you know, I used to think maybe I should have gone out to California instead of going to UT. But now I'm at Peyton. I've been dating for over a year now. It's crazy. That's how I got Teen Spirit, was being down in Texas. And it's all those little things that kind of, when you take a step back, it all has a bigger purpose and a meaning. So I'm so glad that I'm on the right path right now. It's been a really good last couple months. Very spooky.
Well, and, you know, you said something that's very key there. It's all for a purpose. A lot of times we all look at that, and my personal road, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've corrected those mistakes. I've went over here and, like you said, thought, well, you know, if I'd have went over there, I may be better off. But in the long run, things just start to piece together. I've met an amazing bunch of people in the paranormal community. I'm getting a chance to tag along with some of the most wonderful people. And even though that's all out of my pocket, I'm enjoying it, and I'm able to put something together eventually, or at least that's my concentration, to give back to the paranormal community, to give back to people like you, to give back to people like Gavin and Paula from Paranormal Journeys, to give back to people like Grant from television. You know, all the people that struggled their whole life, and only one or two of them may have actually got on television and tell their story.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's an awesome experience. I have a lot of respect for you and Peyton because, I mean, you're very young at this, and it gets discouraging. It really does. I know a lot of people that have been at it for 15 or 20 years, and it's hard to get past that loop. I watched one of your television interviews, and you were talking about the EMF and the scientific end of it and so forth, and I think those are important things to show people because so many people just want that thrill. They want to be able to watch the TV and go, hey, I saw that. And as you and I both know, we can be out there for 9 hours and not get squat.
Literally nothing. It's silent the whole time. And I've taken people out and done, you know, investigations. People always think they're going to see crazy things when I take them out to go, you know, we can even go to somewhere that's crazily haunted, like an abandoned asylum that I've explored, or, you know, there's this one abandoned house where someone got murdered back in South Dakota that I used to take people to, and literally, I'd say 9 out of 10 times, nothing would happen. And, you know, you'd have the camera the whole time, and that's the most disappointing thing of all, is when you get back afterwards and you just spend all those resources, you know, gas money, taking people out. You have a good-looking video, but the content is just not there. So that's happened countless times. And I still try to make, you know, something out of the video. I like to actually show that angle of, you know, the whole process, because if you put out videos that are just, oh, crazy, I got attacked in a building, I got pushed down the stairs, you know, stuff like that, people are not going to believe you because it's not like that every time. It's just a lie to say that it's like that even half of the time. I want to just put out content that's real, because I feel like that's a lot of what's missing. I've watched a lot of other like bigger paranormal YouTubers, and there's just a lot that I disagree with in the way that they cut their videos, and there's just what I feel like is a lot of fraud activity out there. A lot of people that say that there's evidence in the videos, and it's just, it's so obviously fake. Like, I saw a video a couple of days ago of someone that claimed that they saw a spirit woman in an elevator, and the door opened up, and the timing on the video on the phone was off, so it was like different than what they were showing on the screen, and it was just obviously fake, but all the people in the comments believe that it was real. And that's what saddens me, is that there are charlatan type people out there doing the same videos, but of course they're getting successful because they are the ones that are providing the craziest thing per se. But I feel like the ones that really stick it out, kind of like us, obviously you guys, we are the ones that have the more rewarding investigations and personal kind of arcs at the end of the day, because we're actually discovering more about the afterlife. That's why I do it, because I'm just interested. It's not because I want to, you know, be scratched by a demon in an abandoned hotel. It sounds like not fun at all, but, you know, just finding out answers is what I would rather do on a Friday night than, let's say, go out and drink like all my 21-year-old colleagues would rather do.
You know, and I never understood that want that some of these investigators do on their videos, and some of the people that watch, like you said, being thrashed by a demon. I've had two scary experiences in 23 years of doing this. One of them was in my personal house that I grew up with, and the other one was out at an investigation. And I can tell you, listeners, from experience, when you run into something like that, it's not fun.
No.
And I'm the guy that runs into it. You know, if I hear something that sounds like it's a big growl, I'm running there to try to get the picture. Oh, that's great. That, let's see if we can get that evidence. But when you actually experience something that's dangerous, you really second guess if you ever want to go back. It takes a lot after you get to that point to go, you know, let's keep doing this, because it can be really scary.
Definitely.
And of course, you got the positive, like you said earlier, when you get those positive notions and those good feelings, that's what makes you want to go back.
Definitely. And that's what I think that most of it is, which is, it just doesn't get shown. You know, obviously you and I are speaking the exact same language here. It's just people want that thrill online. And that's what all these people are, you know, creating the videos to provide, a thrill. But I want to show, just like you, the reality of everything. It's just, it's not real, or not as, you know, crazy as it's made out to be on TV, let's say. It's not all the sound effects make it look so intense. And at the end of the day, even like Ghost Adventures, they sit around for 7-8 hours at a time. And what do they show out of that whole process? 20 minutes of an investigation? What are they doing the other 8 hours? They're literally just sitting around in silence. But people just don't get that. So that's what anybody that's out there listening, I would say, if I had to give some advice to you, I would say to just stick it out, because a lot of times it takes a while to get something, but once you do get something, man, is it rewarding. And it just feels so cool to be able to interact with something from the other side, whether it's, you know, a dead person truly, whether it's energy. I don't really know exactly what all this stuff is, but it's there. That cannot be debated, is that there is something out there. The truth is out there.
Ironically, that's how I started my career. People used to call me Fox Mulder because my first base of operations was in a basement, filing cabinet, desk, posters on the wall, a lot of research, a lot of reviewing audio for other teams, professional and not, a lot of historic research so that they had their backgrounds. So I would consistently be called Fox when somebody saw it, because I had that little basement office.
That's cool, though. That's awesome. I want a basement office.
It's not all it's cut out to be in the winter, trust me.
I bet.
You know, one of the other things that that I don't think listeners understand is when you're dealing with these big television shows, and I just had that discussion, one of the jobs that I did for 4.5 years was work with what they call the B team. You have a B team and a C team, for instance, on Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, and so forth, that do a lot of the dead work for them. So these people actually spend, well, Zach's a little different. He spends about 6 hours to 7 hours at a location, but a lot of the teams only spend maybe 2 or 3 hours out there because everybody else is setting up all that equipment.
Jeez, yeah, I bet. That's a lot of equipment, and, you know, a lot behind-the-scenes stuff that people don't see. Like, even Ghost Adventures, I had no idea that they had multiple cameramen beyond the original crew and, you know, audio people, light, all the grips and people that work for them. I just didn't even think about that. You just see the show, and it looks like it's just them filming, and you don't even consider the fact that there's other people right behind them filming them. It's this weird, like, meta thing, but there's a lot that goes into the production of all these shows beyond just three dudes in a building with a camera.
Absolutely. I was speaking to Rick Hale over the holidays, and he tags along with a lot of professionals. He's got his own ghost hunting team with Kane Hodder and a few other people that are celebrities in California. And we were just talking about that perspective as well. And it's tough for them if you get into a professional team trying to get evidence, because the production crew, those camera guys that are behind Zach as an example, they're planning for the next shot. So when they're not filming Zach and you've got a, you finally get them and one other camera guy behind them, you've got four other camera guys and three other lighting guys that could be upstairs making a boatload of noise because they're prepping for your next location.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a big like circus of people running around constantly setting stuff up, tearing it down, moving to the next room. You just don't see that. I think it would be interesting to see a whole behind-the-scenes documentary on like paranormal TV shows. I feel like that's a whole angle that no one has really explored, like showing how they actually make the shows beyond what you see, you know?
Well, get prepared for that, because that's what Generation Truth is all about. We're going to follow the small we're going to follow most of the small teams first, and we've got groups into year three and year four to the larger groups that have been on television. So right now we're following along Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown with Gavin Kelly and Paula Purcell. They have an Amazon show, and they're going to be getting on several other Streamline shows. When we're finished with them, we're going to jump over hopefully to one of the other. I won't mention the other group right now, but they've been on television before, and they have a whole crew. And then we're going to finish up with another group this year and the beginning of next year, and then we're going to jump into some more professional TV shows and do some interviews with some of the cast members and stick behind them. Then we're going to put it all into a documentary in a 5-part set so that people can see all of the work that goes on behind the scenes, from the small groups to, you know, small groups like people like yourself and Gavin and so forth that are just getting rolling, to the television groups, so that we can tell their story as opposed to just seeing what they produce.
That's crazy that we talked about that and you're actually in the process of doing that. It's insane. That's cool. I would love to watch that. It sounds very interesting.
Took me 5 years to figure out something that hasn't been done before. And then I finally realized, well, you know, I know all of these people, and I've had the privilege of talking to people like yourself and people that are up-and-comers, Tyler Feddersen, Gavin, Rick Hale and his team, you know, just so many amazing people. And I thought, well, how can I give back to the community, because they've taught me so much? You know, I've got my radio show. I can always talk to you guys. But how do I give back? Well, the best way to give back is show all the hard work you guys put in. Because
Definitely.
Nobody knows that.
No one. It's just you see what the camera shows you, obviously, because you can't see behind the lens. That's the intriguing part about cinema and about, you know, ghost hunting. It's just seeing behind that lens is a very unique perspective, because I also feel like the people who engage in ghost hunts and who are paranormal investigators are characters themselves. Like me, I'm a weird dude, you know, self-professed. I'm an odd guy, got some weird tattoos. I like typo negative goth metal. I do some, you know, exploring at abandoned places on the weekend, kind of just hang out. But I feel like those people who actually do the investigating would also be just cool to interview and, you know, get their real perspective on life and not just ghosts, but like what they do every day. Because, like, what does a paranormal investigator do during the week? That's another thing that people don't think about. Most of these people, kind of like me, do it on the weekends, and I go to school. It is a lot of work, but I am a full-time student. I got 15 hours of class now, which is, like, insane. So I went from having no class last semester, I took the whole semester off to begin editing my first feature-length movie, which I actually shot in Europe. It's a ghost hunting documentary. Can't really give out details about it yet because we haven't announced anything yet, but we went to one of the most haunted places on the planet in Europe and spent a couple nights there. And cool. I took the whole semester off and then had jumped headfirst back into it here in Austin. And I gotta tell you, it's been 2 weeks and I'm already really, really tired and at the end of my rope. But it's good. Learning. That's what counts.
I love to see that. That sounds interesting.
It's going to be a very, it was crazy. We had a lot of very odd experiences there, including our production van getting stuck on the side of a hill in the backwoods of this country on like a mountain road about 2 hours out of the city at 3 a.m. with no cell service. But that's in the movie, so I guess people will have to watch the movie to figure out how we got out of that.
And you know, a lot of us are in the same boat that you are. We're not going to college now, but we carry regular jobs to support our investigations, and we spend a lot of time and we rack up miles on credit cards, and I know people that have spent $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on a passion to put together something that people can enjoy.
Definitely,
It is.
Just traveling to the places is what, you know, gets me the most, because I don't have the money to spend, really. I, you know, work and whatnot and make some money on merch, but actually going out every week, like tomorrow we're heading to San Antonio to film. We've got 3 investigations lined up just tomorrow. But the gas to get down there and then paying for food, and, you know, a lot of people don't think about even hotel rooms and the simple human necessities that you need to do that stuff, it all adds up on one big tab. And then you kind of take a step back and realize, like, wow, I just blew $300 this weekend just on this footage. And, like, what am I going to make back on this? Literally nothing. Don't get paid at all to do just the YouTube stuff. But that's not to down talk it, because it's definitely worth it. It's just, it's a very expensive hobby in a good way, because, you know, you're spending it on good food and good spirits, hopefully.
Well, and then you have the scientific end on top of that that costs even more money when you start getting out there and you start advancing. It's, you know, I've seen this and I've seen that. What can I create? So now you start designing your own concepts, your own gadgets, your own way of investigating. You try to play around with different cameras. So now you have $4,000 worth of equipment sitting down in the basement.
Exactly. It just sits.
And it ends up being fun because 3 years later you go back and go, hey, I forgot I had that. Well, shoot, I'll use that on this one. But
I love doing that. You know, I go back and look through my bags and I find gadgets and gizmos aplenty. And I'm like, wow, I got to use this sometime. I haven't ever even broken this one out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a good feeling.
It is. And that the other thing that amazes me and if you haven't, you will somewhere along the line, is you meet some of the most amazing people as you start advancing into this. I've had the advantage of talking to people at universities, other ghost hunters, people from different fields of education, from geology all the way down to photography. And their stories are amazing. They're great people. They share a lot of things. And you're always learning something new.
Exactly. Whoever you talk to, there's always a lesson to learn. All the people who usually own and or live at or in these places are always the coolest, because, you know, if they're letting you film and come in here, it's obvious that they believe in what they're saying and what we're looking for. And a lot of them are just super humble and, you know, they'll welcome you right into their home. They're like, come on in, investigate, spend the whole night here. You guys need, I don't know, home-cooked meal. We've been fed multiple times. They're very hospitable always, and it's just, listening to people's stories is my favorite part, just getting to know all different types of people from all different walks of life, because this affects everybody, not just, you know, a certain type of person. Anyone can be haunted. Anyone can move into a house that has activity. I guess it's just more that some people are more inclined to recognize it, And some people just completely shut that out. They say, nope, not possible, not going to happen. But you never know. Maybe we can change our minds one day with these shows. Hopefully.
Hopefully. If not, then you've got all the personal experiences from everybody. And the more positive shows there are, the more maybe people that are starting in the field will realize it's not as portrayed on TV. I had the wonderful privilege of speaking to Lance Eberhardt, he's been on the Dead Files. He's been on several haunted shows telling about his experience. And eventually he got a great paranormal team out there that said, look, the way that you can take care of the negativity here is – you know, you guys are so terrified of what's going on, you're producing negativity and fear. So bring some positive emotion into the home, and the negative is going to go away. And they were right. He learned how to do that, and all of his negative experiences went away. But the first team that went into his home, they were more oriented around the television style. So, you know, they went in there, and they were very aggressive, and they did the wrong things. And when they left, it just made it worse for him. Rather than better.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of sad because, you know, I don't know if you have experienced this in trying to get places lined up, but I get denied all the time when I submit filming requests. I'd say I get accepted maybe 5% of the time when I email and or call a place. But a lot of people have actually given me the answer, or I should say the rejection. The reason behind that is that they've had people come in and treat the spirits the wrong way, say the wrong things, and it made the haunting a lot worse for them. Made it more violent, more passionate, I'd say, just more active, and that can be bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're afraid to tell their story at this point because they've gotten a negative experience anyway, and things have gotten worse in their home after they left. Because the wrong person was in there, or they just had a terrible experience with the team that went in there. Some of these teams are just oriented on they need to get the footage and they want to throw it out.
Exactly. They don't really care at the end of the day.
Yeah, or they have the wrong impression on the way it works. You know, I've talked to so many people throughout the years, and so many people think it's just as easy as going in, confronting it, throwing some holy water on the walls, or flying some sage, and that's it. Well, if you're lucky and you get the right positive people in there that can bring positive energy into the home, then it can happen that way. Everything just goes away, and as long as you're thinking positive and you don't bring it back, your home is fine. But if you get the wrong people in there that just think that they're pushing against a wall to throw something out, and they say the wrong things and do the wrong things and bring you in as a confrontation, well, that's not good on you, and it's not good on the team. It's not good on the house. Of course it's going to get worse when they leave.
Yeah, there's nothing that comes out of that that's good, you know? Honestly, like, even, I would say the programming and the evidence, you know, you're not going to get the same results that you would if you just went in and approached it with respect. Because, I mean, let's say that spirits and energy, they were people. I mean, would you say that to a guy that's standing in front of you? Would you yell at them to come talk to you and, you know, disrespect them, call them names and whatnot just to get a reaction? No, you wouldn't. Of course you would. That would just bring bad energy and a kind of negative presence, and that's what happens in a lot of these cases. It's people going in thinking that this is gonna get them a good investigation, but it ends up just being negative. But we really don't do that. I'd never like to taunt and or call things out. The only time that I've ever called something out was when I got attacked, you know, scratched on the back, kind of like you were saying. And you know, that's a very frightening experience, and it kind of puts you in a different state of mind, and I have to kind of take a step back and think, I don't want to get caught up in what this thing wants me to feel, not to like make it sound overly dramatic, but just having a level head really helps throughout all this, whether it's not reacting poorly to something that happens kind of like that, being scratched, or even, you know, being able to discern what is something paranormal or what is something completely natural in the environment, not getting freaked out by that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just good to, you know, keep your head and treat everything with respect. I'm all about respect, just positive emotions. You know, if they were people, you got to treat them like a person. Otherwise, what's the point of even going out and doing this?
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about where they can find you a little bit, so that the listeners know where to find you while we're winding down here, and where your YouTube channel is, and a little bit about what you're planning to do here in the future so that everybody can tune in.
Well, You can find all of the videos on YouTube under the Paranormal Files official channel. That is the show that I put out every Tuesday and Friday. Like I said, I got to go edit the episode for tonight, put that out. There will be a new one after this, but we release videos every Tuesday and Friday. It's my girlfriend Peyton and I, and now my best friend from home, who was in the first episode of the show, Nick, and our friend Hunter. We have a small team that we finally put together for this last, I think, week and a half. They just moved down, so we're cranking them out now. And we have a Facebook page under just the Paranormal Files official channel. We put out pictures every day, exclusive videos and content on there, and Instagram. They're all under the Paranormal Files. If people just search that, you will find us. And my show with Verizon Wireless is actually called Teen Spirit. You can find that on go90.com, which is Verizon Wireless and Complex News' kind of brainchild. It's a really nice free platform. There's an entire season of that show, and that's 24 episodes, completely not produced by me on that end. Beyond Productions, the team that did Mythbusters, amongst other shows, produced that entire program, along with Barry Hennessy, who's a really good friend of mine now, who is the executive producer for The Amazing Race, won some Emmys doing that. So we had a really good team on that show. But I also got to give a little shout-out to my mom, because she just texted me and said that she's watching. She's kind of keeping up with the broadcast. I love you, Mom. Have a good night. But, yeah, there you go. That's where everyone can find me. We just like to keep it real, I would say, at the end of the day, because, you know, you do get scared. I get scared all the time. I'm not trying to hide that fact, because being a believer in this stuff, I definitely believe that it can hurt you to a degree. Not, you know, like it shows on TV and Hollywood movies, but it can affect you, so you don't want to ever push it too far, push yourself too far. But the realism is what we really go for, and bringing that element of not only, you know, being afraid, but of being happy, because at the end of the day, we're trying to help spirits. We're trying to help people who live at these homes. We're trying to enlighten people and tell the truth behind all these situations, debunk stuff that isn't true, and kind of open eyes, end of the day. But yeah, that's it. I mean, that was a really good hour of my life. Thank you for having me on the show, man.
It's not a problem. If we're ever out in the area, I'd love to tag along and tell your story a little bit when we're out there. I know we're planning on going all across the United States, so keep it in the back of your head. If I'm out there near you, I'm probably going to shoot out and say, hey, man, I'm here. Or if you ever make it to Ohio and you're doing an investigation, make sure you give me a shout. We'll follow along. We'll do some interviews with you and get you in the documentary.
Please. That'd be, anytime you're in Austin, give me a call. We'll get a Lone Star and some barbecue. And then go for a ghost hunt.
always good with barbecue. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Colin Broen. Colin has a YouTube channel he just shared with us. Make sure that you listen to the show again as we rebroadcast on AM this week. Also, make sure that you look up his YouTube channel. I will have that information on my Facebook page. It will also be attached to ParanormalTruthAndReality.com. Our new website for Paranormal Truth and Reality launches on Monday. There'll be a lot of platforms, so make sure you keep an eye out for that. It's been a real pleasure having you on, Colin. I certainly appreciate you taking the time. You're always welcome to come back to promote any of your new projects. Just give me a shout out. We'll make sure we make the time for you.
Awesome.
Now, I'm going to end this with the way I end every show, every single week here on BBS Radio that you've been listening to. As you noticed, from an investigator that started very young, and he's ran a very good career right now. I think you got an incredible amount of time ahead of you. I think that you're very talented. So this is just the start of things, listeners. Make sure you pay attention to him. In the paranormal, though you spend a lot of time watching the TV shows and thinking it's done in 4 hours and so forth, remember something. Truth should always be the reality around you. Take the time and the respect to think about how much effort, how much money, how much work all of these investigators put in just to make sure that you have something you can enjoy. This has been Paranormal Truth and Reality. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned. I've got a wonderful ghost tour company that's coming in. Have a great weekend.